15, and we'll be looking at the first 13 verses. Pastor printed out the scripture verse on the back of your notes for your convenience, so you can follow along in that. Right, this is how he starts off. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you, for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and that all the peoples extol him. And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles, in him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Okay, this morning's message title is, let each of us please his neighbor for their good, for Christ did not please himself. Pastor?
Thank you, Carrie. And good morning. It is so great to see all of you here today. We have a great group today. We have lots of people here today. And it's wonderful to be coming to the end of the book of Romans. We have been in Romans since July 4th, 2021. And we will be finishing up with the last chapter, chapter 16. Hopefully in the next few months, Lord willing. And we just finished chapter 14. And chapter 14 is talking to us about non-essential issues, meaning things that the Bible does not tell us exactly how to live or how to do. So we are given choices. We are allowed to have opinions about what is right and what is wrong in these areas because the Bible does not specifically tell us how to choose in these areas. Paul has been concerned with us not judging one another in these areas and fighting amongst ourselves over having our own way in these areas. But he has also been concerned with the failings of the weak, as it says in the beginning of chapter 15, meaning that there were some people who believe in a certain way that's restricted. They don't believe they should do certain things. Whatever is not from faith is sin, and they don't have faith in certain areas, or they're not strong in faith in those areas, and therefore they cannot do certain things without sinning against God. And Paul has been saying, the Holy Spirit through Paul, the Word of God has been telling us that we have to be willing to give up some of our Christian freedom, our freedom to make these choices, so that our brothers and sisters in Christ would not fall into sin, so that they would not stumble. I gave a number of examples in chapter 14 of what issues some of these things are that we have choices in, that we should be considerate to other believers in. But I'm not able to go back through all those examples today. We just don't have time. So if you did not hear the two sermons that I preached on Romans 14, I encourage you to go back and listen to them online on the live stream. They are available on our YouTube channel, and you can listen to them. But today we're wrapping up this talk on the non-essentials. Paul wants to give us some encouragement so that we can live out the difficult commands that he has made in the last chapter. And some of these commands are difficult. It is very difficult for us to give up our freedom in certain areas so that we can love our brothers and sisters in Christ. Sometimes that might require us to do things and say things and live things that are hard for us because we want to live our own way. And if God is not specifically telling us that we can't live that way, it is hard to give up these freedoms so that our brothers and sisters in Christ can be loved and cared for, and so that they do not fall into sin and that we do not fall into sin. So let us pray and go into chapter 15 and see how Paul concludes this talk on non-essentials. Dear Lord, Father, it is beautiful how we have a Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who did not consider the pain that he had to go through, the suffering that he had to go through, the terrible fate of him at the end of his life on earth that he had to endure so that he could love his people, the church, Father. And yet he did it. He went through it. He passionately served you. He loved you with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he loved his neighbor as himself, Father. May we see his example, Father, what Jesus has done, and not only love you and love our neighbor through the power of the Holy Spirit, Father, but also to have hope, Father, in what he has done. Ultimate hope that points us to a day when there will be no more sorrow, suffering, sickness, sin, or any problems at all in our lives, Father, because we will be living forever and ever with you in heaven. And what must we do in order to receive these promises that you have given to your people? We must repent of our sin and trust in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us start with Romans 15, verses 1 and 2, where it says, "We who are strong," meaning strong in faith, having much freedom in Christ, "have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak," meaning weak in faith, those who have yet to grow as strong as we are and have as much freedom as we have. And it says, "and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good to build him up." Point number one. Paul here concludes his argument about the non-essentials. As Christians, there are many decisions we make that are not directly addressed in Scripture. God gives us the freedom to have our own opinions about what to do in these cases. But those of us who are strong in faith must aim to please those who are less strong in areas of Christian freedom. Love is more important than freedom. Point number one. Paul here concludes his argument about the non-essentials. As Christians, there are many decisions we make that are not directly addressed in Scripture. God gives us the freedom to have our own opinions about what to do in these cases. But those of us who are strong in faith must aim to please those who are less strong in areas of Christian freedom. Love is more important than freedom. As we've been talking about, there might be decisions that we make, things that we want to do, that other Christians are not comfortable with. And because they are not comfortable with making those decisions, they are not accepting those decisions in faith. And if the things that we decide to do as those who have strong faith affect those weak in faith and cause them to sin against God, because whatever is not from faith is sin, then it is better not to do the things that we want to do, even if we are free to do them. And the Scripture tells us in the last chapter that if we have the faith to do something that we are free to do that might cause a brother to stumble, it is better to keep our faith and our Christian freedom between us and God. That is what it said in chapter 14. So here Paul is summarizing, and he uses the word please. He's saying, let us please our neighbor, please our brother, sister in Christ, so that they can have strong faith in their own decisions and have strong confidence that we are not sinning, which might cause them to sin in their heart if they think that we are sinning publicly. We have to build each other up. We have to love our neighbor, even if it means not doing the things that we feel free to do. So Galatians 1:10 is also Paul writing, just like in Romans 15, and he says something different, which seemingly might contradict what he's saying in Romans 15. Of course, we know the Scripture never contradicts itself. He says in Galatians 1:10, which you can see on the back of your sheet, For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Point number two. In Galatians, Paul uses the same word for please as in Romans 15, that he must please God and not man. In Romans, he says that we must please one another. The two are not contradictory. In essential matters that the Bible makes clear God's will for our life, we must always seek to please God first. On non-essential issues, in our own opinions, we must always strive to please our brothers and sisters in Christ. We must always seek to love them, even at the expense of our freedom. Point number two. In Galatians, Paul uses the same word for please as in Romans 15, that he must please God and not man. In Romans, he says that we must please one another. The two are not contradictory. In essential matters that the Bible makes clear God's will for our life, we must always seek to please God first. On non-essential issues, in our own opinions, we must always strive to please our brothers and sisters in Christ. We must always seek to love them, even at the expense of our freedom. So he's saying, in Romans, he's saying in our passage today, please your brother and sister in Christ. have unity with them, love them so much that you're willing to give up anything in your life so that your brother and sister in Christ can be happy and pleased with you and with God. In Galatians, he's saying, don't please man. Don't seek to please man at all, because if you're seeking to please man, then you're not serving Christ. So what he means in the two places are, if there's something that is an opinion that you are free in your Christian walk, and God doesn't specifically tell us what to do in his word in this area, then since you're free in that area, use your freedom to serve your brother and sister in Christ. Be willing to do whatever is necessary to please them so that you can have unity in the Spirit and hope together. But if there's something that God says specifically in his word, he commands you, don't do this or do this, believe this and not this, you must go with what God says, even in the face of a brother or sister who disagrees. There's no disagreeing with what God says, and we must please God and Christ before all else. But it does please God that when there's something you have freedom in, to please your brothers and sisters in Christ, because that pleases God, and you're actually pleasing both God and man in that case. And then he gives us the example of Jesus Christ. Romans 15:3. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me. So the word reproach just means blame, really. It's saying the blame of those who blamed you, meaning they blamed God, fell on Christ. So these people had sinned against God, and Jesus took their sin, their reproach, their blame on himself. And in this, he did not please himself, meaning it was not easy for Christ to go to the cross and take the punishment that we deserve in our place. Even though it was his will, and even though he desired to do it, there was a real sense in which he did not take pleasure in the wrath of his Father pouring out on him. It was painful. It was horrible. And though he was serving his Father, and yes, there was a sense in which he was pleased to do that, to serve his Father and love his people, it was not pleasurable for Christ to do that. Point number three. Jesus Christ always did the will of the Father. But it was the Father's will that Jesus would bear the burdens of God's people, those who believed in him. Christ took the reproach or the blame for those who deserved the Father's reproach. He did this out of love for his neighbor. Point number three. Jesus Christ always did the will of the Father, but it was the Father's will that Jesus would bear the burdens of God's people, those who believed in him. Christ took the reproach or the blame for those who deserved the Father's reproach. He did this out of love for his neighbor. Jesus lived a perfect life. He never once sinned. He never once disobeyed the Father. He obeyed the Father's word. He knew the Father's word from beginning to end, even the New Testament, before it was written, he knew what he would say, and he obeyed the word perfectly. He lived this righteous life, and he did not deserve the wrath of God. He did not deserve the Father's reproach. When we trust in him, we receive his righteousness as our own. I use the word I am trying to teach all of us over time, that God imputes God's righteousness, no, Christ's righteousness to us when we trust in him. So that righteousness becomes ours. That is what it means that God imputes it to us. And then Christ went to the cross and took the full reproach that we deserve, the full blame, the full punishment, the full wrath, in the place of all those who believe in him. He did not deserve that blame. But God, he took our sin, he took the blame that we deserve, and he imputed that blame to Jesus, or he gave it to him. He took it from us and made it Christ's. He made it Jesus' blame, Jesus' sin. And then Jesus took the punishment for that sin on the cross. And then Jesus rose from the dead, and the resurrection power of Jesus becomes our own through trust in him, and we have new spiritual life. That means a changed life. That means that we now have a great desire to obey his word that we never had before. And God will make us more and more into the image of Jesus Christ over time through our trust in his resurrection power. That means that God takes real righteousness, the actual righteousness of Christ, his actual goodness, and imparts it to us. That means not only does it become ours, we become like it. We grow in it until one day we will be perfectly righteous in his kingdom. But even now, as we are living, we are becoming more and more righteous. We are growing to love his word more and more and to obey it day by day. Not perfectly, but more and more, till one day we will obey it perfectly in his kingdom. So Christ took that reproach. That is an example to us to show us how to love our brother and sister in Christ. Even if we have to give up something that we want for the sake of our brother and sister in Christ, we can do it because Christ, our example, he did something much harder than giving up a simple freedom. Psalm 69:9 is the verse that is quoted in Romans 15:3 that we just looked at. It says, "For zeal for your house has consumed me, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me." Point number 4. We see from the original verse that is quoted here in Romans that the primary reason Christ took our blame was out of zeal or love for his Father. We are to take this as our example and love our brothers and sisters in Christ because of our love for God. If this means giving up some of or all our freedoms in Christ, we are in good company with our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Point number 4. We see from the original verse that is quoted here in Romans that the primary reason Christ took our blame was out of zeal or love for his Father. We are to take this as our example and love our brothers and sisters in Christ because of our love for God. If this means giving up some or all of our freedoms in Christ, we are in good company with our Lord and Savior, Jesus. You see, Jesus was free to do whatever he wanted. He doesn't have to go to the cross because he is God and he has the right to do whatever he wants. Yet he submitted to the will of his Father because he loved his Father and wanted to do his Father's will. And he loves his people, he loves his church, so he submitted to their punishment, he submitted to the Father's wrath out of love for them. So, as Christians, we should do the same. Paul here, still talking about the non-essential issues of the Christian life, is saying, look at Christ. Look what Jesus did. Jesus did something which was not pleasurable for himself. Even though he had the right, had the freedom not to do that, even though he could have went immediately back to heaven and ruled from heaven with an iron fist forever and ever, he wanted to love God and he wanted to love his neighbor, so he submitted to something which was not easy for him to submit to. So we too, in these Romans 14 issues, if we see that there is something which might cause our brother to stumble, whatever that is, it's better just to give it up as we look to Christ, because Christ was willing to give up his rights and his freedom to do something out of love for us. Romans 15:4. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. This verse is quoted quite a bit. Lots of people love this verse because it's talking about the Old Testament here, what was written in former days. He means the Old Testament Scriptures, and that it's written for our instruction, because there's always a temptation in the Christian life to look only at the New Testament and to not really pay attention and learn from the Old Testament Scriptures. And soon, after we finish Romans and a short sermon series on false teaching, we're going to be looking at the book of Genesis. And there is instruction there, there is hope there, there is endurance that we can learn, and encouragement through those scriptures that are very important for us. Even in the very beginning, even in the lesson of creation in Genesis 1. And we can learn things from that text and all of the Old Testament that are helpful to us. Point number 5. The Old Testament scriptures written in former days were written for the instruction of New Testament believers. They teach us both endurance in the midst of trials, and also encourage us in our walk with Christ. The end result of this encouragement is hope. Point number 5. The Old Testament scriptures written in former days were written for the instruction of New Testament believers. They teach us both endurance in the midst of trials and also encourage us in our walk with Christ. The end result of this encouragement is hope. Hope. And that is one of the most important things we can have in the Christian life, is hope. 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 through 17, echoes what it's teaching here in Romans 15:4. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings. He would have been talking to Timothy about the Old Testament. The New Testament was not written yet or completed when he wrote this, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. So the Old Testament helps us to be wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Then he says, all scripture, meaning everything from the Old Testament to the New Testament, is breathed out by God, meaning it's God's word. It's all true. Every bit of it, every word is his word, including the Old Testament, including Genesis even. And it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. We need all these things as Christians. We need teaching, which you get every week. We need reproof, meaning we need to be rebuked. We need to hear that we're wrong about things when we're wrong. For correction, we need to hear what to be right about. We need to know that if we're wrong about something, what does the Bible say that can correct us and get us into the right understanding of something? And for training in righteousness. That means that we need to train ourselves and to be trained by the Word of God to be more and more righteous. This can only happen through what God has breathed out, through the Word of God. And then it says that the man of God, man and woman of God, may be complete, equipped for every good work. We need to do good works. And the only way to know how to do good works is to have teaching and reproof and correction and training in righteousness from the Word of God, from the Bible. We need the Holy Spirit working in us, yes, but without the Scripture, without the Bible, we won't grow. And ultimately, the Bible tells us that if we're not in His Word, if we're not being grown through the Holy Spirit working through His Word, then we will fall away and we'll find out that we've never been a Christian to begin with. So the Holy Spirit will direct us to His Word. If we're a Christian, that has to happen. Romans 15, verses 5 and 6. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Point number 6, the hope that we have in our God, the God of endurance and encouragement, will lead us to unity and harmony with one another as we seek together to worship our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of this unity with one another, we can praise and glorify Him with one voice. Point number 6. The hope that we have in our God, the God of endurance and encouragement, will lead us to unity and harmony with one another as we seek together to worship our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of this unity with one another, we can praise and glorify Him with one voice. His word is the word of endurance and encouragement. And He is the God of endurance and encouragement. Notice that He is the God of His own scripture. And what does the scripture give us? What do his promises in his word give us? It gives us harmony in accord with Christ Jesus, that together we can have one voice glorifying the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we're in his word together and we're loving him through his word and loving one another through his word, we will have unity, one voice that we glorify God together. Romans 15:7. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Point number 7. Loving one another as Christ has first loved us will bring glory to God. Christian freedom that we have may sometimes have to be set aside for God's glory, and this is honoring to him. Point number 7. Loving one another as Christ has first loved us will bring glory to God. Christian freedom that we have may sometimes have to be set aside for God's glory, and this is honoring to him. To the glory of God, do all things for the glory of God. It glorifies God when we love one another through the love of Jesus Christ. And that love is more important than anything else we do, the love that we have in Jesus Christ. We love each other by believing together his word, and we love each other by not causing each other to stumble. Romans 15:8-9. It seems like he may be changing the subject, but I don't think so. I think he's still on the same basic idea. Romans 15:8-9. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised, meaning circumcision is the mark of God's Old Testament people. It was a surgery performed on the male private parts that would separate them, and people would know by that they were Jews. So Christ became a servant of the Jews, the true Jews, the circumcised ones, to show God's truthfulness so that they knew that God was true, that he was going to keep his promises, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the other patriarchs of the Jewish faith. He wanted to confirm the promises he made to them. That is why he sent Jesus Christ to be their servant. And in order, it goes on, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. Point number 8. Christ became a servant to the Jewish Christians so that he might prove God's truthfulness and faithfulness to the promises he had made to Israel in the Old Testament scriptures. He also served the Gentiles, glorifying God by extending his mercy to the whole world. Point number 8. Christ became a servant to the Jewish Christians so that he might prove God's truthfulness and faithfulness to the promises he had made to Israel in the Old Testament scriptures. He also served the Gentiles, glorifying God by extending his mercy to the whole world. He was keeping his Old Testament promises while at the same time extending his promises to the rest of the world, who had not originally been included in his Old Testament promises. So he goes on in Romans 15, 10 and 11. And again it is said, "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him." These are Old Testament promises that Paul is quoting. Point number 9. In bringing his mercy to the Gentiles, God has caused the whole world, both Jew and non-Jew, to rejoice in the glory of his Son, Jesus Christ. Point number 9. In bringing his mercy to the Gentiles, God has caused the whole world, both Jew and non-Jew, to rejoice in the glory of his Son, Jesus Christ. God wants all the nations, tribes, tongues, and peoples to rejoice in his Son, Jesus Christ, to glorify him so that everyone would know how glorious the work of his Son, Jesus Christ, is. Romans 15, 12 and 13, our last verses for today. And again, Isaiah says, "The root of Jesse," meaning the Jews are the root of Jesse, "will come, even he who rises to rule the Gentiles." He's talking about Christ, the root of Jesse in the Jews. The son of the Jews was Jesus Christ. "Even he who arises to rule the Gentiles." Jesus will rule the entire world, including the Gentiles. "In him will the Gentiles hope." And he concludes by saying, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." Point number 10. The hope that we have in Jesus Christ brings joy and peace among his people throughout the whole world as we trust in him. The power of the Holy Spirit changes our hearts to cause us to love one another in unity as we grow in greater and greater hope. This hope is the foundation for our loving service and sacrifice for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Point number 10. The hope that we have in Jesus Christ brings joy and peace among his people throughout the whole world as we trust in him. The power of the Holy Spirit changes our hearts to cause us to love one another in unity as we grow in greater and greater hope. This hope is the foundation for our loving service and sacrifice for our brothers and sisters in Christ. 2 points of application. Application number one. As we look to our example, Jesus Christ, be willing to do whatever is necessary to see our brothers and sisters in Christ grow in their faith, even if it means giving up some or all of our Christian freedom. Application number one. As we look to our example, Jesus Christ, be willing to do whatever is necessary to see our brothers and sisters in Christ grow in their faith, even if it means giving up some or all of our Christian freedom. We must be willing to sacrifice whatever is necessary to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. To have this love in our heart for our brothers and sisters in Christ that is greater than our love for our own freedom, for our own choices, our own desires. In this world, application number two, our final word. Look to the Word of God in the Scriptures to provide all the instruction that we need in the Christian life. Through the Bible, we can see our hope grow as God fulfills His promises in our lives. Point number two. Look to the Word of God in the Scriptures to provide all the instruction that we need in the Christian life. Through the Bible, we can see our hope grow as God fulfills His promises in our lives. His promises are there in the pages of Scripture, and we can see them fulfilled in hope as we look to His Word. Let us pray. Dear Lord, Father, I'm so thankful for Your Word. I'm so thankful for Your Son. I'm so thankful for everything You have given us in Your Son. Father, help us to love Him, to cherish Him, and to follow His example. As He did things for us, let us also live our lives in love for You, Father, and for each other. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.